gaining bhajasya, be engaged in loving service, mam, unto me. Translation: how much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. Please repeat after me. How much more this is so,
how much more this is so
of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees, and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this material world, there are classifications of people, but after all, this world is not a happy place for anyone. It is clearly stated here, anittam asukham lokam. This world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable for any sane gentleman. This world is declared by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be temporary and full of miseries. Some philosophers, especially Mayabadi philosophers, say that this world is false. But we can understand from Bhagavad Gita that the world is not false, it is temporary. There is a difference between temporary and false. This world is temporary, temporary, but there is another world which is eternal. This world is miserable, but the other world is eternal and blissful. Arjuna was born in a saintly royal family. To him also the Lord says, take to my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. No one should remain in this temporary world, full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he can be eternally happy. The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men can be solved. Everyone should therefore take to Krishna consciousness and make his life perfect. So the shloka before, it says, actually in order to go into this shloka, we have to consult the shloka before, because it's actually a continuation from the previous shloka. Krishna says, Mang hi partho vyapashritta, jyopi shu papo jonayo, Striyo Boishas Tatha Shudra Stepi Janti Parangotim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Boishas and Sudras can attain the supreme destination. And then in this shloka it says, how much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. So, in the previous shloka, Krishna said that if even a low class person or a person from a lower birth takes to Krishna consciousness, teopi janti parangotim, they also attain the supreme abode. So then, if the persons from lower birth, like the women, Vaishyas and Sudras, can attain supreme destination, then what to talk about the righteous brahmanas, the devotees and the saintly king? Obviously, they also attain the supreme destination. The understanding is, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, it does not really matter who he is. He may be a Brahmin, or he may be a Kshatriya, he may be a Vaishya or a Sudra, or he may be even lower than that. Or he may be a man or a woman, it does not really matter. Anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness attains perfection. Because Krishna consciousness does not deal with our body. Krishna consciousness is not a matter of our body. It's a elevation, or it's a development of the spirit soul. So as soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, he is actually situated in the spiritual platform, and it does not really matter whether whatever kind of birth he may have. As a matter of fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us that even the animals could take to Krishna consciousness. When Mahaprabhu was traveling through the forest of Jharikhanda, then he was chanting the holy name, and just by hearing Mahaprabhu's chanting of holy names, even the wild animals of the forest, like tigers and lions and elephants, and also the deers and monkeys, they all started to chant the holy name and began to dance in ecstasy. Now one may say that how is it possible? How can an animal chant the holy name? But the understanding is that actually the animal body was not chanting the holy name. When Mahaprabhu chanted the holy name, it penetrated through the physical covering, the gross covering of this gross body and the subtle covering of the mind, intelligence and false ego. That holy name penetrated through the gross and subtle covering and reached the spirit soul. And the animal, although they were in an animal body, but their spirit soul actually is not animal. Their spirit soul is a spirit soul. And that spirit soul began to chant the holy name of the Lord. So that is how potent the holy name, the pure chanting of the name is. It penetrates through the covering of matter and reaches the spirit. And the spirit becomes then free from all material bondage and becomes situated on the spiritual platform. And becoming situated in the spiritual platform means becomes situated on one's constitutional position. And what is our constitutional position? Our constitutional position is that we all are the servants of the Lord. Jiber Shwarup Hoy, Krishner Nitya Dash. So that is our constitutional position, that is our spiritual identity. And when one takes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes situated in that spiritual identity. So if the animals can be situated in the spiritual platform by following the process of Krishna consciousness, what to talk about human beings? The human being, no matter whoever he is or she is, if he takes to the process of Krishna consciousness, will immediately become purified and be situated on the spiritual platform. So that is what Krishna is telling Arjuna, then what to talk about if this less advanced or less spiritually conscious people, like women, Vaishyas and Sudras, can attain spiritual perfection by following this process of Krishna consciousness, then what to talk about the kings, the righteous brahmanas and the devotees? So if they take to the process of Krishna consciousness, they will automatically be situated on the spiritual platform. So while discussing this shloka, in the purport, Prabhupada pointed out that Krishna has pointed out here that anittam asukham lokam. Krishna described this material nature as anittam. Anittam means temporary. And asukham, sukh means happiness. And asukham means misery, opposite to happiness. So this material nature is actually a place for misery. Everyone in the material nature is suffering. No matter whoever he is, as soon as one falls into the material nature, one must suffer. This is, in another shloka, Krishna says that dukkhalayam ashashvatam, that this material nature is a dukkhalayam. Dukkha means misery, and alay means an abode, a place. This material nature is a place for misery, and ashashvatam, temporary. If somebody thinks that this material nature is a place for enjoyment, then he is mistaken. That his enjoyment won't last for very long. That is the understanding. If somebody thinks that now I am so happy, I have a lot of money, my body is very healthy, I am young, I am famous, I have all the facilities to enjoy this material nature. If one thinks like that, he may be enjoying some happiness for some time, but he can be absolutely positive, 100% sure that his happiness is not going to last for very long. That's why Krishna says, ashashvatam. If someone is thinking that he is very happy, then his happiness is only temporary. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. We can see that how long can one actually enjoy? If one has a lot of money, how long can he enjoy his money? Someday he'll have to leave everything behind and die. And when he dies, then he can't have any claim over his money. Or if someone has a healthy young body, but that body will become old pretty soon. So then he cannot possibly enjoy that body. Like an old man is miserable. We can say anybody can see that. He can't digest his food, he can't walk, his whole body is aching all over. Everything is falling apart in the body. It must be so miserable. And everybody will have to become old if we live that long. And then finally we all have to die. So where is the happiness in the material nature? Actually there is a branch of philosophy, Vedic philosophy called Naya. And this Naya philosophy very systematically analyzes how this material nature is a place of suffering. The Naya actually means logic, reasoning. Now when one considers what this material nature is or why we are suffering in the material nature, then through reason and logic, they analyzed it in the Naya philosophy, and they considered that the first cause of suffering is this body. We have this body, that's why we are suffering. Actually, all the suffering, all the pain that we receive is through the body. Now, if someone doesn't agree with that, then for them, the Naya is analyzing it. It's saying that take any part of your body, any part, take say for instance your leg, and consider in how many different ways you can inflict pain on your leg. You can take a knife and cut it, you get a lot of pain. You can take a stone and smash it, you can get a lot of pain. You can take some fire and burn it, you can get a lot of pain. So this way, you can think of so many different ways of inflicting pain on your leg, right? Now you consider in how many different ways you can give pleasure to your leg. Practically none. Somebody may say, well, if somebody gives me a nice massage, I get a lot of pleasure. So I say, fine, let somebody give you a massage, and at the same time, let somebody else start cutting your leg with a hacksaw, right? Will you agree with that condition? No intelligent man will agree with that condition. So this way you can see that although there may be some kind of pleasure in the leg, we can give some pleasure to the leg, but that is practically insignificant compared to the pain that can be inflicted. And that principle can be applied to any part of our body. That principle can be applied to any part of our body, and that way we can see that this body is actually a wonderful machine to receive pain. This body has been designed to receive pain in the material nature. So the first cause has been analyzed as the body is the cause of suffering. And then they analyzed that there are six senses. We have six senses, and those six senses are also the causes of suffering. Like What are the six senses? The eyes, the ears, the nose, the touch, and tongue. And this is a, there's a five and one internal sense, that is mind. So these are the six senses, and with six senses we can receive pain. Then comes, then they analyze that there are six sense objects. That also are the causes of pain. What are the six sense objects? The form, the sound, the touch, taste, and smell. Five, and thought of mind. So these are the six objects of the senses. They are also the causes of suffering. Then there are six kinds of growth in the material direction. Like we grow rich, we grow beautiful, we grow famous, we grow knowledge, we grow wise. So these are also the cause, these growths are also the causes of suffering. More we grow towards material direction, more famous you become, more miserable your life becomes. More rich you become, more attachment you develop, and that becomes the cause of your suffering. So this way, these material growths are also the cause, six kinds of material growths are also causes of suffering. So this way, three sixes are 18 plus one, body, there are 19 causes, and then they analyzed, the 20th cause is, happiness is the cause of suffering. The concept of happiness is there, that's why the concept of misery is there. The 20th and the 21st cause is, the pain itself is, suffering itself is the cause of suffering. So this way, by this 21 points, they analyze that these are the 21 causes of suffering, and then they finally they conclude that this material nature is actually a place for suffering. The way one does not go to the prison to enjoy, the same way no one actually comes to the material nature for enjoyment. We all came to the material nature for suffering, to suffer. So everyone in the material nature is suffering. So an intelligent man will realize that, as Krishna says here, anittam asukham lokam. This material nature is temporary and miserable. Now if this place is temporary and miserable, then what you should do? Should we try to remain here forever? No. Because it is anittam, temporary. So we cannot stay here forever. We may stay here for some time, but then we have to leave this place. As we die, what happens in death? We have to go. Anittam. And asukham, it's a miserable place. Janma mrittu jara badhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. The janma means birth, mrittu means death, jara means old age, and badhi means disease. So birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the four kinds of suffering. And also there are three kinds of misery constantly being inflicted upon the living entities. They are called tritab dukkha, or adhi atmik, adhi bhautik, and adhi daivik klesha. Klesh means misery, suffering. Adhi atmik means misery caused by the body and mind. Then adhi bhautik, misery is inflicted by the other living entities. And adhi daivik, the misery is inflicted upon us by the controllers of the material nature. So this way, all the living entities are constantly being subjected to all kinds of misery. So anybody who is intelligent, he will realize that this place is not a place for a gentleman. That's exactly what Prabhupada is saying here. Not habitable for any sane gentleman. So this material nature is not a place, is not a place for a gentleman, especially if he has some sanity left. Unfortunately, we are so bewildered in this age of Kali that we do not realize how miserable this material nature is. And we always try to make a permanent arrangement for enjoyment here. But no matter how hard we try to enjoy this material nature, we end up becoming miserable. So, here Prabhupada also brings up another point. Some philosophers, especially Mayavadi philosophers, say that this world is false. But we can understand from Bhagavad Gita that the world is not false, but temporary. The Mayavadis say that this world is false, mitha. Brahma satta, jagan mitha. The spiritual nature or a Brahma, the spiritual energy of the Lord, is the reality, and this material nature is mitha or false. And in order to confirm this point, Shankaracharya gives an example that the way we may mistakenly consider a rope to be a snake, the same way this material nature is false. In darkness, when we see a rope lying on the ground, sometimes we feel it's a snake. Right? It seems to be a snake. But actually, it's a rope. There's no snake in there. It's a rope, but you know, it's by our wrong sense perception, by our bewildered sense perception, we consider the rope to be a snake. So the same way, this material nature is false. That's what the example Shankaracharya gave, and he tried to establish that point. But Ramanujacharya came and defeated Shankaracharya's philosophy of Mayavad and established Shuddha Dvaitavad. And Ramanujacharya defeated that point by saying that there may not be any snake in the rope, but somewhere the snake is attached. There may not be any snake in the rope, but somewhere the snake is existing. Right? That's why we can mistake the rope to be snake. If there was no snake, then there wouldn't have been any question of mistaking the rope to be snake. So, this material nature may not be reality, but somewhere there is a real nature. That's why we are mistaking this material nature to be real. And this is how Ramanujacharya establishes the point that the spiritual nature is the real nature, and the spiritual nature has all the variety, all the variegatedness that is existing in the material nature. But the only difference is the spiritual nature is real, and this nature is a reflection. Now, reflection is not real, but reflection is also existing as a reflection. It is not completely mitha. You cannot say a reflection is mitha. You can't say the reflection is false. It is real as a reflection. So the same way the material nature is real as a reflection of the spiritual nature. But the real reality is the spiritual nature. Actually, it's very interesting the way Ramanujacharya defeats Shankaracharya's point. This Mayavadi philosophy of Shankaracharya has a basic point they make is that the spiritual nature, the Atma, the Jiva, becomes Brahma when it becomes free from material modes. There are three modes of the material nature, mode of goodness, mode of ignorance, mode of passion and mode of ignorance. And due to the influence of these modes, Brahma, which is actually nirakar, which is actually formless, shapeless, without energy, devoid of energy and devoid of any qualities, that takes up a form. This form is due to the modes of material nature. But when we become free from the modes of material nature, then we become formless. We become Brahma. And this way, he pointed out that ultimately, sarvam khallidam Brahma. Everything is Brahma. And Brahma is Nirakar, Nirvishesh, Nirgun, Nishaktik. Nirakar means formless, Nirgun means without any quality, Nirvishesh means impersonal, and Nishaktik means devoid of any energy. And so ultimately he concludes that when the living entity becomes liberated, then he becomes Ishvara or God. It is because of our material bondage that we are human beings. But when you become free from material bondage, we'll become God. That's the Mahavadi concept. So Ramanujacharya defeated that point by saying that if you say that a living entity, if you accept that God is there, if you believe in God, then you have to accept that God is superior to you. And if God is superior to you, that automatically means that God has everything that you have, plus He has something that you do not have. It's natural. If God is greater, then God has everything that we have, plus He has something that we do not have. Now, if we say that we have form, but God doesn't have form, that means we are saying that God is inferior to us. So, by logic, that argument will not stand. So, he just defeats that point of Shankaracharya by this argument. That if you believe in God and say that God doesn't have any form, that means you are saying that God is inferior to you. So, that is not logical. So, here Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna that take to my devotional service and come quickly back to me, back to Godhead. And actually, through Arjuna, Krishna is inviting everyone to come back to him. Krishna wants everyone to go back to him. Krishna is telling, Krishna feels bad that we are suffering so much in this material nature. Because Krishna is our supreme father, and no father wants his children to suffer. So Krishna doesn't want us to suffer, but as long as we are in the material nature, we are bound to suffer. So that's why Krishna always wants us to go back to him, where we can always enjoy. And the process of going back to him is by devotional service. That Krishna is telling in the next shloka, that maybe we'll discuss tomorrow. That's a very famous shloka, and that's the last shloka of the 9th chapter. Who remembers that shloka? Does anybody remember the last shloka of the 9th chapter? Very good. Yeah. Then? Majjaji maam namaskuru. Mame vashyashi kaunteya. Yuktabvayim avatmana. Matparayana. So, that is manmana bhava. With your mind, Krishna is telling, with your mind, you just think of me. Mad bhakto, render devotional service unto me, and mad jaji, worship me, and mang namaskuru, render, offer obeisances to me. And thus, mame vashashi yuktaibam atmanam matparayana. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come back to me. So Krishna is giving us the assurance, if you become completely absorbed in me, if you simply think of me all the time, then automatically you'll come back to me. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Yeah, when they say that, you can just slap him very hard on the face. And if his body is not real, then he shouldn't get angry about it. Right? Either slap him hard or punch him hard on the nose and see whether his body is real or not. Actually, as long as the spirit soul is obsessed with this body, the body is real. Right? But of course, when you leave the body, then we are
What is actually real is our consciousness. But as long as the consciousness is imposed on the body is real. Right? But when the consciousness is withdrawn, like when you're dead, and if the body is lying on the ground, then it doesn't really matter whether it's, whether somebody hurts it or whether somebody is doing anything with it. And you can even burn the body, you won't even feel anything. Right? But as long as we are in the body, as long as the spirit is in the body, then the body matters. Well, we have to know how to discriminate. We say that the Lord has a body, but we never say that the Lord has a material body. He has a body, but His body is spiritual. And our body has been created according to His image. Bible says also, man has been created according to the image of God. The human form is actually created according to the image of God. That Krishna's form is actually like human form. It is not that Krishna becomes a human being when he takes a body. But human being got a body that looks like Krishna. But the difference is our body is made of matter and Krishna's body is made of what? Yeah, what is this? What are the elements? Satchidananda. No. When, you see, Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, that jajedam dharjate jagat, aparayam itastannam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhutang mahabahu jajedam dharjate jagat. That describing this material nature, Krishna says that this material nature is inferior. This material nature is my inferior nature. But beyond this inferior nature, I have a superior nature. And the spirit souls are coming from the superior nature. And the spirit souls are sustaining this material nature. The spirit souls are there, that's why the material nature is existing. Right? When the spirit souls are withdrawn, then the material nature doesn't exist. Like, we can also consider it this way. Like, say, I am here, right? That's why to me, this material nature is existing. But if I die, then will this nature exist for me? No. Now, if all the eyes are taken away, right? If everybody dies, right? And everybody goes back to Godhead. That happens at the time of annihilation, when Krishna withdraws his glance from Maya, material nature, then all the living entities go back to Krishna. Vishnu. Right? So if no spirit soul is here to witness the material nature, then the material nature does not exist. Right? If I am not existing, then to me this material nature is not existing. Right? So if nobody is existing, so the material nature is not existing to anybody. That's why Krishna says, Jajedam dharjate jagat is the living entity. Is the living entities that are sustaining this material nature. Dharjate, dharan means to sustain, to hold. And living entities are sustaining this material nature. Any other question? Yeah. Come again. You don't understand that the mind is an internal sense. You see, mind is the seat of all the senses. Right? All the senses ultimately is connected to the mind. Right? Say for instance, to give you an example, say your eyes are open. Right? And some object is there in front of your eyes. But if your mind is somewhere else, will you see that object? So it is the mind that ultimately registers everything. So this is how mind is the internal sense, through which the consciousness flows towards matter. Is that clear? Mind is eternal. Oh, mind is eternal. Mind is not eternal. I said internal. Not eternal, internal. I'm sorry. Is there any other question? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.